Welcome back, gamers, to the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Rad Dreams, also known as Mason. I'm from Rad Dreams Review. And joining me is Darkness Tiger, also known as Devin.
Yeah, that's me. What's going on, Mason?
Yo. And, go ahead.
Happy end of the year episode to you.
Yes, happy end of the year episode to you as well. That's right, listeners, you heard it here first. This will be our last episode of this year of 2022. And, you know, give ourselves a little bit of a break before the new year hits in 2023. And unfortunately, our other co-host, iChameleon I, also known as Chris, will be unavailable today. He is battling the sickness and not the good kind by Disturbed either.
That's good.
Figured you'd enjoy that one. But we have a very special podcast for you listeners today. That's right. We're going to be going over the Game Awards for 2022. I'm sure you guys have already heard the results or seen the results, but you'll get to hear our input, which I feel is invaluable.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I did not watch the live stream. I fell asleep.
I listened to it at work. I didn't really watch. I just listened.
I will say when I watched the following day, I watched everything from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Video Game Awards is a very long event. I would never have made it all the way through the entire night.
It's what, like 4 hours long?
Yes. And the problem was when I started watching it, I was in Brazil, which is 2 hours ahead of Eastern time. So the show for you guys started at what, like 9:30?
I believe so. It was fairly late.
Yeah, it didn't start for me until 11:30.
Hmm.
So like I tune it in. I'm like watching a couple minutes, and I'm literally just like, I can't finish this.
Mm.
And so I eventually turned it off and popped it up the next day. And here we are. So are you ready to talk about some of the categories?
Yes.
Today's episode is just going to be the Video Game Award winner of the year. That's really it. So let's start with the very first category, Best Esports Event.
Yes, and this does not come as a surprise to me, Devin. Honestly, this is the quintessential esports event. In my eyes, I agree that it has overtaken Evo because, unfortunately, Evo has kind of, been very lackluster in recent years. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's kind of fallen off. It's not as grandiose as the winner of this category, which who was it?
The winner of this category was the 2022 League of Legends World Championship, which honestly, as you just mentioned, Evo's kind of fallen off. This one was not a surprise for me
either. No. And this year, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it held at Madison Square Garden?
I believe it might have been.
In New York. I want to say it was. And just to give you listeners a bit of context about the League of Legends World Championship, and this might come as a surprise to you, Devin, a little fun fact about this. Ooh. Did you know that in terms of viewership, the League of Legends World Championship has more viewers overall than the Super Bowl and the World Series combined?
Now, that is definitely a fun fact. I did not know that.
Yeah. Another fun fact. The only reason why I know this is because I was doing a research paper over esports and its viability as a business model for my degree program at Cleveland State. And I will tell you, as well as the listeners, a lot of my instructors, as well as the proctors for this, don't know what video games are really, and they had a very difficult time wrapping their head around the concept of esports as a business model. They're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, listen, you've got your sponsors, you've got ad revenue. You've got all of these viewers. Like, I'm like, listen, guys, like, this functions literally like any sport. You just change it to video games.
I will say, if you're like a part of the older demographic and video games really aren't your forte,
I get it too.
It's probably a lot harder for you to like assume, hey, I'll buy a ticket and I'll go watch somebody video game in Madison Square Garden. That doesn't seem like a viable thing if you're not familiar with that realm.
Yeah, exactly. So unfortunately, like what a vast majority of my presentation consisted of was explaining to them the concept of what a esport is, and giving them the numbers as well, like the data that I just gave you, just saying like, hey, listen, like this is from 2016 and onwards. Cause the last time I did the assignment was in like 2020. So, you know, this, that fun fact I gave you was from like that time frame, which I'm sure it's still accurate today. I haven't double checked it, so take what I say with a grain of salt.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it's accurate because Madison Square Garden was sold out for the event. And if you looked on Twitch or YouTube, like the viewership count was insane. So I wouldn't be surprised if my statement was accurate. But yeah, feel free to double check me and fact check me, listeners. I could be speaking out of my ass.
No. Well, after this episode, we'll go ahead and if that fact is correct, we'll post it on the Twitter page. And if it is false, I'll also post that on the Twitter page.
All right, sounds good.
So let's move on.
Yeah, next category. We're still in esports.
Yeah, we're still in esports. And this one is the best esports coach. Now, to entirely be 100% honest and transparent, I do not watch esports, not because there's anything wrong with it. It's just, I just don't have the time and generally play it or things that I don't play.
Yep.
So on the best esports category, I just voted based it off the name that I like the most.
What did you vote?
I think I voted for Go Score Dungbin. I just love that.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I did Eric Doombro because I thought Doombro was funny.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of these esports. And we'll just kind of go ahead and tell you guys who the winner was. It was Matthias BZKA Tarascani from Loud, and Valorant is the video game itself. I've never really gotten into Valorant. I didn't really think it was that popular. So that's all I have to say about that, honestly.
All right, let's move over to the next. We're staying in the esports.
Yep.
And this was best esports team. To be honest with you, I don't know who I voted for this one. Probably FaZe Clan for Counter-Strike.
I did Gen G because they're the only team that I was familiar with.
I mean, it is interesting to see that so many people who are very familiar with these teams and coaches, they do vote to the point where we have the winner, which is Loud for Valorant.
Yeah, and that'll just segue into our next two categories. I kind of think we should lump them together because we're still talking about Valorant. Best esports athlete is Jacob Ye Whitaker from Cloud.
I have no idea who that is.
Same. He is on Cloud9, which is a North American team. I mainly know Cloud9 because of League. I am honestly offended that Faker from T1 did not win.
Really? Why are you offended by that?
I am offended because he's basically the Tom Brady of League of Legends. Like, He has, I want to say, like three or four championships under his belt. He was in the finals and like the championship for League. He's arguably the most consistent player in League of Legends, one of the most popular players in esports in general. So I guess Valorant has a solid, dedicated, I guess, fan base that votes.
Apparently so.
But yeah, I don't think this Cloud9 guy, Jacob, should have won. I think that Faker should have won. Call me a T1 fanboy or whatever. But if you look at his play, you can clearly see he's the best.
All right, so let's move on, and we're going to stick in yep. the esports category. And honestly, whenever I think of esports, League of Legends, Rocket League, Counter-Strike, for some reason, has always been like that's the esport game.
Yeah.
This one, I think I actually voted for League of Legends.
Yeah, and I disagree that, again, Valorant won this category as best esports game because it does not, at least from what I've seen, it doesn't have the same following as League. It doesn't have the same following as CSGO, Rocket League.
The esport event was League of Legends, but the esport game was not.
Yeah, right? Like, how are you about to have the best esports event be League, but then not have it be the best game? Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Don't worry. We're going to talk a little bit more about this.
Oh, I know. Like,
I do like it.
So, before we go into the next category, my question is, like, this is all based on fan voting, correct?
Yes.
All right, so no critics were involved in this. So, yeah, take that as a little factoid as we kind of go over this as well. So the next category we have is the innovation in accessibility. And here's where my, I guess, gripes come into play. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into it here shortly. So we've got As Dust Falls, God of War Ragnarok, Return to Monkey Island, Last of Us Part 1, and The Quarry. So this is innovation in accessibility. So, Devin, before we reveal who the winner was, in your opinion, what does accessibility mean?
Well, when I think of the word accessibility, I actually think back on a game that did this really well, and that was Forza Horizon 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even if you were deaf, they still had plenty of a subtitle. You can choose your subtitle size. And they were even able to add in a sign language interpreter just for you to be able to kind of read what's going on through just the mm-hmm. sign language. So accessibility means a game that is made and based on a way where people who suffer from some form of either disability or just something that's not typical standard or whatever is able to enjoy the game without feeling like they're hampered in any capacity.
Mm-hmm. And that's very similar to my definition, with the exception of I would add that it's easily accessible by all or a majority of people, right? Okay. That's to me, that's what accessibility means, where a game is, for lack of a better word, accessible to all. And in my opinion, the winner of this category, God of War Ragnarok, does not fit that bill because it's only available for the PlayStation 5 and PS4, correct?
That is correct.
So in my opinion, I could be wrong. You can definitely disagree with me, and as well as our listeners can. But for a game that is a console exclusive, I do not feel that it deserves to win an accessibility award.
I get what you're saying, and for me, I have a little bit of a difference of opinion, and I don't mm-hmm. necessarily know if God of War Ragnarok deserve this or not, because I've never played God of War Ragnarok.
Neither have I.
I've only played The Last of Us, and I think this is a weird category that a lot of people do vote on, because if you're not going into those settings and actively changing those settings,
mm-hmm. you don't notice anything.
I really don't notice that, and I don't know normal people, the people who don't need accessibility features in games, I don't know if they're the best people to have voted for this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like, if God of War Ragnarok wins, I'm assuming that people who have played it say, oh, it's very accessible for those with possible disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But for me, I was like, I really can't speak on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't speak on the next topic.
I can as well. And this topic was the one that I was actually the most excited for, and the category that gave me the most grief, because I didn't know what to pick, because there are some heavy hitters in this next category.
And the category is Best Adaptation. So this is basically where you take an IP property, use the Cuphead, because that's one of the categories, or it's one of the contestants, and you convert it from not only just the video game media, but either into board game, TV, movies, something along those lines. So it's an adaptation to a different format than what it was original.
Yes, exactly. And
the nominees were Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted. Now, I've seen 3 out of 5 of these.
I've seen 4 out of 5.
And the one that I voted for, Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Okay.
I felt very confident in that.
Okay.
And what did you vote for?
All right. So before I tell you what I voted for, I want to share with you my thought process on this category. So the only thing I have not seen on this list was Uncharted.
Okay.
And I'm a huge Sonic the Hedgehog fan. I thought the sequel was fantastic. I definitely think it improved upon the first film, and it definitely paved way for a trilogy. Then you have the next three, which I really had a tough time with, mainly because the Cuphead show really does emulate the video game extremely well. Right. If you've ever watched it, it uses the same style of animation. It really encapsulates what the video game's about and converts it to this television medium in quite the seamless way. Same can be said with Cyberpunk Edgerunners. The two things that I was conflicted on was, do I vote for Cyberpunk or do I vote for Arcane? Because in my eyes, both Arcane and Cyberpunk are perfect 10 out of 10 masterpieces. And I ended up voting for Arcane. And I'll tell you why.
And that means that you voted for the winner.
Yes, I did vote for the winner, Arcane, and here is why. Cyberpunk Edgerunner is fantastic, and it is my fanboy pick for the winner of this. But the reason why I didn't vote for it is because it cannot be viewed by everybody. It has a kind of a niche market and a niche demographic, in my opinion. It's not wild. I cannot, in confidence, recommend it to just anybody, because there's a disclaimer that you need to give with Cyberpunk. You know, it is for mature audiences only. Mm-hmm. Has gratuitous violence. It has gratuitous sexual content. It has gratuitous flashing lights and flashing images, and it's very mature, right? And with Arcane, it is still mature, but it is a little toned down in terms of the violence, in terms of sexual or explicit themes and messages. And I can more confidently recommend Arcane to a wider audience rather than Cyberpunk. So that was my rationale for why I agree that Arcane wins this category.
Right. Okay. That's very fair. See, the reason I voted for Cyberpunk Edgerunners is because I've never seen Arcane, nor have I ever seen a Cuphead show.
Yeah.
I saw Uncharted. I thought it was just an okay movie, probably a C+ at best.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2, great movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Had some laughs. But Cyberpunk Edgerunners was the only one that actually made me go out and spend money. Because that's why I bought. That was one of the reasons why I bought Cyberpunk 2077.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, Cyberpunk Edgerunner motivated me to want to play Cyberpunk 2077. Because I never played it because of what we've talked about in regards to the game. But after watching that anime, I was like, holy shit, I am invested.
All right. Fair. Now let's move on to a category in which we did not get nominated, but next year we'll see.
And I disagree with this category just in general, because there's only 5 nominees and there's a bajillion content creators.
I guess these are the five best. And the content creator of the year, and I don't watch any of these people, so I really did not know.
I only watch one of these people.
And is that who you voted for?
Yes. I'm only I'm familiar with three of them.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I'm familiar with are Carl Jacobs, Ludwig, and QTC Cinderella. Carl Jacobs, if I'm not mistaken, I think he works with Mr. Beast.
Okay. QT Cinderella looks familiar, but I wouldn't be able to tell you why.
She is in a relationship with Ludwig.
Okay, so this is a very suspicious category.
Yeah. There should have been more nominees, honestly.
Next year, let's get nominated for this.
Yeah, not a lot of Twitch people. A lot of YouTubers. No VTubers were nominated, so that was interesting.
Yeah, and the winner for this category was Ludwig.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, congratulations to him. He's the one that I voted for. He's the one that I watch quite a bit out of all of these guys. I agree with him winning. But I do still think more people should have been nominated. But it is what it is. He does a lot of interesting content on YouTube. He just got done doing a massive event online called the chess boxing event. So that was kind of interesting. He also did another event live called Mogul Money. That was, I think it actually broke the record on YouTube for most people watching a live streamed event.
Wow.
Like on YouTube.
Yeah, that's pretty epic.
So I think that's why he won, because of that Mogul Money game show that he did.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, congratulations to him.
Yeah. Now let's move over to a category that I was excited to vote
yeah,
for.
Yeah, same.
The category is most anticipated, with the Final Fantasy 16 nominee, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
I want to guess what you voted for.
You can take a guess.
I'm going to guess that you voted Starfield.
You absolutely are accurate.
Ah, yeah. Do I know my co-host, or do I know my co-host?
You really do, because you know I don't care for Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
You know my opinions about J.K. Rowling.
Yep.
You know my opinions about remakes and remasters, Resident Evil 4, I'm looking dead at you. And I don't have a Nintendo system, so that was easy for you.
Do you you want to guess what I voted for?
I'm assuming The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
You would be incorrect.
Really? Was it Starfield as well?
Nope. You're going to hate me.
Legacy?
Nope.
Not Resident Evil 4.
It was Resident Evil 4.
Why? What is the purpose?
The why? Reason... All right, so here's why. Because I am and was literally obsessed with Resident Evil 4 when it came out for the Nintendo GameCube. Like, I love that game with a burning passion, and I'm just excited that it's getting like a remaster after all this time. Gross. And I don't know, I'm excited for it.
Game that didn't need it. And based off of The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom winning this category, very few people agreed with you, right?
And that's okay. I mean, I like Zelda. I'm playing through Breath of the Wild right now. It's a fantastic game. It's, you know, one of Nintendo Switch's best games on their console. So I definitely agree won. So I'm not upset about that. I'm not.
No. I was actually kind of taken aback that this category won when you had quite a few big names like Hogwarts Legacy, Starfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not anticipating Legend of Zelda when it comes out. Cool. But the one I'm anticipating is still going to be Starfield. Like, that's the one I'm most excited for. Let's move up to the best multiplayer. And the
ones
I was surprised by.
You know what? After looking it over, I'm actually not surprised that it won.
Well, the nominees are Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, Multiversus, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge. For me, this one was an easy vote. I voted for Call of Duty: Modern Warfare 2 for obvious reasons. That is the multiplayer game.
See, for me, I gave up on Call of Duty, so I didn't vote for that. While Multiverses is fun, it's kind of like a, it's like a meme game.
We'll talk more in a way. Multiverses.
Yeah, we will. And then Overwatch 2 by Blizzard. I agree that it didn't win because, again, Activision Blizzard is riddled in controversy. And Overwatch 2, while, yes, from what I've heard, it improves upon the first game in terms of the monetization of the game itself and how you unlock stuff, that really leaves a sour taste in players' mouths. Mm-hmm. And then I personally voted for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, because that game is fun as fuck.
Yeah, I absolutely bet. I never got an opportunity. I downloaded it. I had it on my computer, but you guys already beat it by the time I
went. Yeah, Chris and I Chameleon and I, played it together, and we beat it together, and it was a freaking blast. We loved it.
But the winner of this category was Splatoon 3, and mm-hmm. I was surprised. I remember when Splatoon was announced. I kept my eye on the trailer. It looked like it'd be a fun time. Not really for me, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never actually played Splatoon, but I know a lot of people who do, and they swear by it. So I'm not surprised that it ended up winning.
Interestingly, though, and you're going to know this throughout the rest of what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
If anything was involved with Nintendo... it is a very good chance that it probably won.
Yes, because Nintendo has a pretty large fan base and a very loyal fan base.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. This next category was one that I was excited to vote in.
And I obviously know which one you voted for. I know you voted for the winner.
Well, let's give our nominees.
Yes.
F1 2022. FIFA 2023, NBA 2K23.
Oh, fuck. Sorry. Okay. I hate the 2K franchise.
Gran Turismo 7 and Ali World.
Never heard of it.
I have, and I didn't. It doesn't look great.
Yeah.
For this category.
This is an easy win. Easy win.
Too bad I did not get it.
Wait, what?
I voted for F1 2022.
No way!
Could you not?
What?
The reason I did is because I have played both F1 22 and Gran Turismo 7. I play them both extensively.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to like driving, I think Gran Turismo 7 is a lot of fun. But when I'm thinking of sports and I'm thinking of racing, I'd rather play F1 22.
Wow. I'm actually shocked. I would have thought that you voted for Gran Turismo.
It came down to those two, but when I thought about which one I played more, it was F1 2022 because Gran Turismo 7 had a lot of issues, and it still kind of does.
That's fair.
Though I enjoy driving, the physics can leave a lot to be desired. But yeah, it was literally down to these two. Which one did you vote for?
I voted for Gran Turismo.
So you voted for the winner.
Yes.
All right, let's move over to the best sim strategy game. And the nominees are Dune Spice Wars, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope,
mm-hmm.
Total War Warhammer 3, Two Point Campus, and Victoria 3. I did not vote for the winner.
I did not either. I voted for Warhammer.
I voted for Victoria 3.
But really, okay.
It's up my alley, and I can see why you'd vote for Warhammer. We were both wrong, because the winner for the best sim strategy is Mario Rabbids Spark of Hope. And I was just, really?
I was kind of shocked by this, like, because I haven't played this game, but is it considered a strategy game?
I didn't think it was.
I didn't think it was either, but, you know, I don't really know a lot about it. So, but what's interesting is it's by Ubisoft, but yet it involves a Nintendo intellectual property in Mario.
And that's why I think that's one of the reasons why it won.
Yeah, because of Mario.
It had the word Mario, and that's all it took.
Yep.
Well, congratulations to that.
Mm-hmm.
Best family. This one I could kind of see. The nominees are Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Mario Rabbids Spark of Hope, Nintendo Switch Sports, Splatoon 3. I voted for the winner.
I did as well. Even though I never played it, I have seen gameplay and it looks fucking amazing. My issue with this category is you can argue 4 out of 5 of these nominees are Nintendo.
Yeah. And because I think it went to the biggest one.
Yeah. But yeah, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, even though it was developed by Ubisoft, we just mentioned, you know, hey, Mario is an IP owned by Nintendo. But Kirby and the Forgotten Land, the winner, definitely does deserve it because it is a highly innovative game. Yep. It's very unique. It's beautiful to look at. From the streams and gameplay footage that I've watched of the game, it looks like a hell of a good time. So I'm glad that it did win.
Yeah, I am as well. This one is one I was like, okay, this is easy one to make the determining for.
Yeah, now, the next category is one that I kind of want to cover because I'm a big fighting game player, and I heavily disagree with the winner of this. Almost as much as this is probably the one that I would say is like the most controversial for me in terms of the winner. So the nominees are DNF by Arc Systems. They're the ones that make Blaze Blue. They're the ones that make Guilty Gear. They're very, very solid development studio. They know what they're doing with fighting games. We've got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R by CyberConnect2/Bandai Namco, another good development company. Then we have the King of Fighters 15 by SNK. Then we have Multiverses, and we have Sifu. I'm honestly shocked that Nickelodeon All-Stars or whatever the fuck it's called did not get nominated. That honestly I think should have been nominated over like JoJo's. And my personal pick was Sifu because it is such a solid martial arts slash fighting game. Yes, you don't fight against other players, but you fight against like the game itself. But it is such a good display of how like martial arts games should be done. It's very accurate in how it portrays martial arts. So I think it should have won. It's kind of an obscure game as well. It's very unique. I don't think it's an indie title, but
I remember when Sifu came out, it looked really good, but I heard that it was very difficult.
Yeah, it is a hard game, and that's probably why it didn't win. But once you like get it down, it is so rewarding. But suffice to say, the winner of this category is unfortunately Multiverses.
And I have to say, and I was thinking about this after the fact when it was announced that it won, I was like, did I really enjoy playing Multiverses?
I didn't.
No, neither did I. And I because I played it a couple times, did the tutorial, got an achievement or two, and then I'm like, it's not doing enough for me to continue playing this.
Yeah, so I played it for like 20 minutes. I played the tutorial, like you, played online. It was fine, but overall, like I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how this was the winner because I voted for the King of Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess people really like the nostalgia of that. Great for them. But this category, I was like, I mean, fine, but I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But moving over to the next category.
Yes.
Best role-playing game. And
my category.
I voted for the winner.
I did as well.
And the nominees are Elden Ring, Live a Lie, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Triangle Strategy, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
The two that I was kind of debating on for this category was Elden Ring and Triangle Strategy, because Triangle Strategy is made by the same people that did like Octopath Traveler, and it's a very, 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 very good game. Triangle Strategy, that is. It's a solid, solid game, but at the end of the day, I got to go with the winner of this category because I had more fun with that game.
And the winner was, obviously, no questions asked, Elden Ring.
Yeah, no surprise.
This one, I thought this category wasn't really fair because who would have voted for Pokemon Legends Arceus when Elden Ring is in the same category?
Yeah, nobody.
I think this was the only one. I think this was one of the very few categories where a Nintendo game did not win.
Yeah. But moving on to the next category, we've got best action / adventure. So they're combining both action adventure into a category, which is interesting because the next category after this is just straight action.
Yeah, but I think you have a point. I think they should have kept this as best adventure.
Yeah, because best action / adventure. It's a bit of a weird kind of. It's a weird
one because you have best action as the next category.
Yeah.
So I think that you should have just dropped the word action off the second one, just said best adventure.
Yep.
Because it still would have worked.
Yeah, it would have. But the nominees for this is a Plague's Tale, Requiem, got God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, the kitty cat game, and Tunic.
I voted for the winner.
I did as well, even though I haven't played it.
Neither have I, but God of War Ragnarok, which, to be honest, and I'll talk more about this in a bit, I thought God of War Ragnarok was going to win every single category it was in. And
I did too.
And it was close.
It was very close. Because recency bias is a thing.
Recency bias is a thing, but when we get to the game of the year, I want to talk about something that you guys did not notice, but I did. So let's go over to now best action, and the nominees are Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. I did not vote for the winner.
I did not either, actually.
And this is where I was talking about Nintendo, because Bayonetta 3 murdered everyone else.
I was kind of shocked that Bayonetta 3 won and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 didn't. That's the one that I actually voted for, even though I haven't played it. Out of a action game, I would argue that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is the most action of these.
Oh, absolutely. Like I thought that was going to be an easy one, but apparently
Yeah, because like Bayonetta 3 didn't really get received too favorably.
Well, there was also a lot of controversy
around
it as well.
Yeah, and you know, with the voice actress and everything, which turned out that was a whole thing in itself that we won't get into.
I will say, though, but it goes down to show that people who are down for Nintendo, they stay with Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what controversy surrounds it.
And this next category, I was actually shocked at the winner. I thought it was going to be something else.
Yeah, I did not get the winner on this category.
I'm shocked. So best VR / AR, so you know, virtual reality / what does AR stand for? Augmented reality. Thank you. I couldn't remember off the top of my head. So we've got After the Fall by Vertigo Games, Among Us VR, Bone Lab by Stress Level Zero, Moss Book 2 by PolyArk, and Red Matter 2 by Vertical Robot.
So the one I voted for is the only VR game that actually looks like I would go out and buy VR just to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Among Us.
Yeah, I voted for Among Us.
It looks so much fun.
It does.
I don't know what Moss Book 2 is.
I don't either. I've never even heard of it.
Neither had I. And I just thought, okay, that is strange.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with you.
But apparently, a lot of people seem to like Moss Book 2.
Mm-hmm.
Even as I'm looking at the images, I have never seen this.
No, I never have either.
Yeah, I would never have voted for this, and I still don't wish to vote for it. I think Among Us was...
I thought that was an easy W for Among Us, but apparently not.
All right, so let's move over to Best Mobile.
All right, so before we get into this, you know how I said the Best Fighting category kind of triggered me?
Yeah.
This category was the most triggering for me because I flat out disagree with the winner.
Well, let's talk about the nominees.
Yes.
Apex Legends Mobile, Diablo Immortal.
Boo!
Okay. Marvel Snap and Tower of Fantasy. I did not vote for the winner.
I did not either because...
I think we didn't vote for the winner because we didn't think this one was going to win.
No, I voted
for Genshin Impact.
I voted for Genshin Impact as well because that's an easy W, easy pick.
But because, just like Thanos.
Yeah, Marvel Snap won. The snappening,
Marvel Snap won. People who listen to the Marvel Universe, they came in and they flooded this category.
Apparently, I heavily disagree with this. I've played Marvel Snap, and it's a very good mobile game. It's fun, but in terms of being the best, Genshin Impact is easily way better than Marvel Snap. Easily.
Yeah, I could see that. I absolutely could see that. When I saw that this was announced, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Marvel Snap, it literally just came out. And this just shows you, again, recency bias is a thing. And the Marvel fanboys will come out and defend Marvel.
Oh, 100%.
No offense to Marvel fans, because I am a Marvel fan as well. I am definitely a Marvel fanboy. So... I can sympathize with the struggle.
Yeah, I get it. But let's move over to a category. I always like this category, but I always vote no matter which nominees are, I always vote for the same one. Mm-hmm. And it's Best Community Support presented by Discord. I do not vote for the winner, but the nominees are Apex Legends, Destiny's 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky. I almost voted for the winner, but I didn't.
What did you vote for?
I always vote for No Man's Sky.
Interesting. See,
the reason being because we saw what the game started out as.
Mm-hmm.
I am always hearing about updates to No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Always.
See, I even though I absolutely hate the game and I suck at it, I voted for Fortnite because it gets constant support. Mm-hmm. The developers are very communicative with their fan base.
Right.
They do very good by their community. They offer unique events, unique styles of play, unique skins, weapons, etc. They do it all. So I'm surprised Fortnite didn't win.
Yeah, I could definitely see how almost any one of these could have won. But congratulations to Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of good things. Maybe one day I'll pop in. Maybe mm-hmm. Final Fantasy. But the next two categories, I voted differently. And I
was
right one time.
So this is super weird because we have Best Debut Indie and then Best Indie.
Yes.
That's so weird to me. It's just, they should just get rid of Best Debut Indie and just do Best Indie.
I agree, but they decided to split them up.
And that's so weird.
I agree. The nominees are for Best Debut Indie, mm-hmm. Neon White, Norco, Stray, Tunic, or Vampire Survivors. I voted for this one wrong, but I voted for the Best Indie right.
Okay.
Debut Indie, I voted for Tunic.
Okay.
And that did not win.
No. I voted for Vampire Survivors.
And that too did not win.
Yeah. Because I only, out of all of these, I've only played Vampire Survivors.
Out of all of these, I only played Stray, and that was the winner. And yeah. I thought to myself, I said, No, because debut indie and the best indie should have gone to two different categories. Yeah. Because I think best debut indie should have been Tunic, because I feel like Tunic, when it was first announced, it was released, it had very high praise. Mm-hmm. It was basically a new age Legend of Zelda type game.
Yeah.
And I, for that, I love the idea. Whereas Stray, I don't know. For some reason, I didn't vote for that, but let's move over to best indie, where the nominees are different.
Yes. Cult of
the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic. And for this one, I voted for Stray.
Mm-hmm.
So I split my vote.
Now, out of these, I actually voted for Sifu, because that was the one that I played out of all of these.
Yeah.
But I can understand why Stray won.
Yeah, I can absolutely see why Stray won. It was a visually impressive game with a different type of gameplay, which we don't really see often, from the position of a cat. Was it the most fun I've ever had video gaming? Probably not, but it was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just felt like I split my vote, and I will stand by my decision that I think that though Stray was the better indie game,
mm-hmm.
I think Tunic had a better start.
Okay, that's fair. That is very, very fair. And for our next game, I was shocked by the winner of this, but we've got best ongoing game. We have Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 15, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. Now, what did you vote for this one?
I voted for the winner.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
And the only reason I voted for the winner is because I read an article about it, talking about how like a major streamer had left one of the other streaming games and had gone into this game.
Was that, what the fuck's his name? Asmongold?
I don't know what his name was. I couldn't possibly tell you. But he brought so many people to this game that people were writing articles, talking, basically how he himself revitalized this game. And so with that, I was just like, well, that's the only one that's been in the news for like positivity. So I did vote for the winner. Who did you vote for?
I voted for Genshin.
I can see that. I absolutely, and again, all of these categories I could see. Again, Fortnite, they're always doing something.
Yep.
Destiny 2, a lot of people play it.
Yeah, Chris plays it. I'm sure he probably voted for Destiny.
He probably didn't. He probably voted for Genshin Impact.
You think?
I think so. I think that Chris plays Destiny 2 out of obligation, not because he thoroughly enjoys it, but
because
he's too far into it to quit. But I voted for Final Fantasy 14 on this.
Nice.
I've just heard too many positive things. I'm mm-hmm. almost taking a look, but I'm not in love with Final Fantasy games.
Gotcha.
Let's do games for impact, because I don't necessarily understand this category.
Yeah, I don't either. I've never actually even heard of any of these games.
I have one on my Xbox, and I have yet to play it, because every time I boot it up, I always say out loud, today's not the right day.
Yeah, I didn't know any of these, so...
I have one, I recognize two. But the nominees were A Memoir Blue, As Dusk Falls, Citizen Sleeper, Endling, Hindsight, and I Was a Teenage Exocolonist. I ended up voting for the winner, and that was As Dusk Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Who did you end up voting for?
I think I might have like skipped this category.
Womp. I voted for As Dusk Falls because every time I look at it, it looks like a game that's like so much fun, so interesting. But I just can never bring myself to play, because I always feel like, oh, I'm going to be playing this for the next 4 hours.
Yeah.
Now, let's move over to best performance.
Yeah.
This one was interesting.
How so?
The winner, first off, I did not. Okay, let's just get to let me explain this after the fact. The best performances was Ashley Birch from Horizon Forbidden West.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte McBurney from A Plague's Tale Requiem. Christopher Judge from God of War Ragnarok, Manon Gage from Immortality, and Sonny Soljak from God of War Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. I voted for winner Christopher Judge.
I vote Yeah, I voted for Christopher Judge as well. I will say the second person I was thinking about was Ashley Birch, because she does a phenomenal job in Horizon. So she should definitely get a pat on the back as well. But definitely Christopher Judge took it home in his portrayal of Kratos again.
See, one thing I did not know until this category, I did not know Kratos was black.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know Christopher Judge was black. I literally
really because he won it as a best voice, or did he win? I don't know. I remember God of War 1 winning an award when it came out in like 2018 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I watched that one.
And Christopher Judge went on stage with the young boy who plays his son.
Yeah, and
they like accepted the award and shit, and that was actually the first time I saw Christopher Judge and that he was black and everything.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, this is epic. He really does sound like it. He seemed like a very humbled man.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And he was humbled for 30 minutes.
It wasn't 30 minutes, Devin.
It was a long time.
It was between 5 and 6 minutes.
No, it was not.
Yes, it
was.
That is
not true.
No, yes, it was.
Christopher Judge was on there for about, hold on, because I can tell you, because it was.
There was no way.
So long that they actually.
Well, I know they were trying to like play him off the stage.
Yeah, and they were actually like joking that he, because of him, they had to give way more Steam decks.
Yeah.
So Christopher Judge's acceptance speech was around 8 minutes long.
Okay, so like not 30. That bad.
Uninterrupted, it felt like 30. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, holy crap, this guy can talk.
He was just trying to, I don't know, I thought it was very heartfelt.
It seemed like he was going on tangents, which...
I mean, maybe he was, who knows, but...
Which is fine.
I mean, I don't know, I give him props. I think people are giving him shit for no reason.
I might agree with that, but like, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, all right, guy, I want to go to bed, because his speech was the one I went to bed on.
Mm.
I was like, this is literally going too long. I have to end this.
I mean, it could have been shorter, sure. But I don't know. I don't give him too much grief.
No, but let's move over to Best Audio Design, where I did not vote for the winner. The nominees.
I did not either.
The nominees are Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West. Did you vote for Elden Ring?
I did vote for Elden Ring.
I know. I voted for Gran Turismo 7.
Interesting. Okay.
I thought it had really great audio.
Yeah. I mean, same with Elden Ring. I thought the soundtrack for that was just superb.
So speaking of soundtrack, that's our next category. Best Score and Music. Oliver Dereve, A Plague's Tale Requiem.
Oh, wait. Did you say that God of War won that?
I did not, but God of War Ragnarok did end up winning.
Oh, yeah, for best audio design.
Which, I guess, it's how you see it. For me, Gran Turismo 7, I thought had a very good audio design. And I'm sure Elden Ring, I'm sure they all had great audio design.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move over to best score and music. A Plague's Tale Requiem. I'm just going to give the category names because some of these names are a little difficult.
I can help.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be ideal.
I can. So for best score in music, the only one that I might mispronounce is this first one. So I'm going to say Olivier Dervy. Sounds French. I could be mispronouncing that, but we've got Tsukasa Saito from Elden Ring. Bear McCreary, badass motherfucking name right there for God of War. I'm just saying, like, that's just a badass name. We got Two Feathers for this really interesting video game, Metal Hellsinger. And then Yoshinori Mitsuda for Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
I did not vote for the winner.
I did not either.
The reason being, I actually was had some errands to go run. So I actually put the soundtrack on for each one of these as I did my errands.
Yeah. Which one did you vote for?
Weirdly enough, Metal Hellsinger was not available for me to listen to, so I never voted for that category. And the problem was Elden Ring and God of War sounded too similar for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I voted for Xenoblade Chronicles.
Nice. Yep, I respect that. I voted for Elden Ring.
I could see it. I absolutely could see it. When they were playing the God of War Ragnarok audio, they were actually doing like a live orchestra or whatever.
Yeah.
It sounded really good. Like, I could absolutely see why this won.
Yeah, definitely. And Bear McCreary in your badass name, congratulations.
And ironically, he performed once and then he was going to perform again when they announced Game of the Year. And we'll get back to that.
Yes. But moving on, we'll go to the best art direction, where we have Elden Ring, God of War, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray. What did you vote for?
Either I voted for the winner or I voted for Stray. But I'll tell you right now, Stray did not win.
No. I honestly thought God of War would have won this, but I'm glad it didn't, because Elden Ring won, and that's the one I voted for.
Yeah, good job, Elden Ring. That one I could absolutely see. That was one who I was going to vote for, but I've decided for Stray because I like the pretty colors.
Yes, and you like kitty cats.
Yeah, I'm indifferent about cats. Unless I can play as a hairless one. So no. Let's do best narrative.
Yes. This one I actually agree with. And I did vote for the winner.
I voted for the winner as well, but it was close.
Yes. I'll tell you why.
The nominees were A Plague's Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality. So I voted for the winner, but for me, it was between the winner and A Plague's Tale Requiem.
Yeah, same actually.
And the reason I was thinking about that is because though I didn't play it, it actually seemed like a game that had a story that's worth watching.
Yeah, and the same can be said about the winner of this category, God of War Ragnarok. It really just, from what I've heard, really adds to the narrative that the first one, you know, kind of introduced.
I'll definitely have to, because I have the first one. I just haven't had an opportunity or time to play it yet. But I'm definitely going to play it because God of War Ragnarok has been looking very good.
Yeah, 100%.
So congratulations to God of War Ragnarok for the best narrative. Now, best game direction.
I was going to say, before we move on to best game direction, the reason why I didn't vote for Elden Ring for best narrative is that it is kind of complicated.
And that's the reason why I didn't consider it either, because I have just been casually living my life, exploring the internet, just doing what I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
I can still not tell you exactly what Elden Ring is about.
I cannot either, and I've beaten the game, and I've played through it twice.
Yeah, so that's I couldn't give it the best narrative because it doesn't have great narrative.
Yeah.
But for the next category, best game direction, the nominees are Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray. It came down to, I guarantee, the top two, and I don't think I voted for the winner on this.
Really?
I might have. It came down to two. I don't remember. But as I'm sitting here, I think I voted for God of War Ragnarok.
I think I did as well. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but in terms of like a game's direction, I definitely agree that God of War should get it.
Yeah.
But I think unfortunately it didn't.
Yeah, unfortunately it didn't, but I think it was one of the categories where I would say God of War Ragnarok really deserved to win. However, I can absolutely see how Elden Ring did win because it was a massive game.
Oh, 100%. It did have very good game direction. It did.
And it worked. It was a game that actually worked not only on paper but in practice.
Yes, 100%. And then now we've got the category that everybody is excited about, the Game of the Year.
Which I really love this category because as they were reading the nominees and getting ready to announce the winner, they brought back Bear McCreary to do the God of War soundtrack again. Mm-hmm. And I'm under the impression that the Video Game Awards actually thought...
They probably thought that God of War was going to win.
They probably did. This was like Moonlight and La La Land all over again.
Ah!
Because I voted for the winner. I think you voted for the winner.
I did.
I think we all voted for the winner.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Chris voted too.
I'm sure he did. And the nominees were A Plague's Tale Requiem. Now, keep in mind, as I'm giving the nominees, the Bear McCready Orchestra God of War song is playing in the background. A Plague's Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, which got quite a lot of cheers, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as the God of War soundtrack is going on, they open up the envelope and they said, the winner is Elden Ring.
I mean, I think they just brought him back just as a, I don't know, who knows.
I know, but I think that they legitimately thought
they probably did. Why did
you do it during this category?
Yeah, I don't know, but
you should not be having the soundtrack of another nominee playing.
Mm-hmm. So
unless you know that nominee is not going to win.
Exactly. So some good highlights from the Game Awards is that God of War Ragnarok won pretty big. It won 6 awards. But you know, Elden Ring did manage to kind of steal the show by winning the Game of the Year as well as Best Game Direction. But then in terms of reveals, some really cool trailers were being announced and played. Biggest of which, in my opinion, was the sequel to Hades in Hades 2. We had Death Stranding 2. And we also had the final trailer for Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, I have to say Death Stranding 2 looked really good.
Oh, yeah. So did Hades 2.
The Hades sequel looked really good as well. But I was just annoyed they called it Hades 2.
Yeah, because, I mean, she is, in mythology, Hades' daughter.
Yeah, but your name isn't Haiti.
What's that?
Your name isn't Haiti.
Well, I know that. Neither is Zagreus from the first Hades.
Yeah, but I just like just give them their name. Just give them.
It has. I don't know. Name. I mean, it has better ring. Like, would you have played Hades 1 if it would have been called Zagreus? Probably not.
Yes, I probably would have. Because I'm not playing it just to play Hades. But one of the other big announcements. Was a game that I remember playing when I was young. And to see that this was announced, I was so hype.
What was it?
It was Armored Core 6.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, dude. I loved Armored Core.
Oh, same. I am sitting there and I'm like, this is the best thing I've seen.
That's awesome. I forgot that was revealed.
Oh, yeah. It was also revealed that Idris Elba is going to be joining Cyberpunk 2077. We saw Street Fighter 6, a release date.
Mm-hmm.
I love how it said the first Super Mario Brothers movie clip. And I'm like, but we've seen this over and over again.
Mm-hmm. We have.
Yeah, some more, just a couple little announcements here and there. A new Bayonetta origin story. Hellboy is coming back.
Yeah, which that's exciting.
Yeah, and I like how it looked like a comic book as I'm sitting there watching it, but it was actually a game.
The one thing that I thought looked interesting was the reveal for the Ghostbusters VR.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I think the game that is most exciting for me, and when it was announced, I thought it was something entirely different. And that's called, it's called Crime Boss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Chuck Norris, Danny Trejo, and Vanilla Ice. When I first started watching the trailer, I'm like, are they about to announce Grand Theft Auto 6?
Yeah, it looked similar.
It really did. And then when they said it was an entirely different game, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
The artwork for the trailer, like it gave off like Grand Theft Auto Vice City vibes.
Yeah, it looked good. I think that what we're going to be seeing for 2023 is going to be a lot of amazing. I think 2023 might be the video game of year.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year, dude.
One thing I'm also super excited for is Dune Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I say anything that has to do with Dune, I'm fully 100% for it.
As is your right.
As is my right. But any parting thoughts before we end our episode, final episode for the year? I wish Chris could join us.
Yeah, I really do wish he could join us for our farewell message to the year. But my closing thoughts on this year, I guess, is make sure you guys, you know, stay safe out there. Make sure you have fun. And as always, guys, I hope all of you listeners out there continue to stay rad.
Okay. That's a good one. My final thoughts and parting thoughts for the remainder of the year is Need for Speed Unbound deserves a 3 uninformed gamers out of 5.
Okay.
The reason being is that after the end game, there's not a whole lot of reason to go back and play it. And the multiplayer does not hold up, especially once the environment leaves.
Mm.
Once people tune out, there's going to be no Need for Speed Unbound. My final thoughts towards the end of the year. Thank you all for joining us for this amazing, spectacular year. We've had quite a bit of growth as a podcast. We've learned quite a few things. We've gotten some very constructive feedback and some very constructive criticism that we thoroughly appreciate, and we make those changes accordingly. Now, as we're moving into the 2023 year, we may be seeing some other changes. Over the next month, Rad Dreams Review, iChameleon, and myself, Darkness Tiger, are going to be trying out some new features. We're going to be trying a couple different things to move away from currently Twitter and to bring about ourselves into a newer, more expansive platform. As of right now, we're not ready to really say much of anything because we haven't even begun to look at the process. But I will confirm to you guys that we will be back in 2023 and we will be stronger than ever with all three of us back in the saddle. Thank you so much for joining us for the Uninformed Gamers 2022. We will see you all next year. Bye.
Later.